Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Ashley Johnson Barr's body has been returned to Kotzebue. A funeral service for the 10-year-old who was found dead outside the northwest Alaska city a week ago is happening tomorrow. Eva Sheldon is helping organize donations to Johnson Barr's family and the broader community. Sheldon accompanied family members who brought Johnson Barr's body back from Anchorage yesterday.
When we left on the charter flight, the entire airport ceased operation. There were no planes moving, no carts moving. Everyone was watching, and they watched the flight take off in respect and honor.
Sheldon is handling flower donations, which she says have come from across the state and outside Alaska.
People that used to live in Alaska, people that used to live in Kotzebue, people that never been to Alaska, just the outpouring of support and condolences. People wanted to help out. And, you know, donating flowers was a way for them to do that. And the calls kept coming and coming, and the messages.
Sheldon says the donations went beyond flowers to food, clothes, and toys, many in Ashley Johnson Barr's favorite color.
Anything that people found purple, they got dropped off to Worldwide Movers. And Carol Sorensen, who's the owner of Worldwide Movers, she was really behind this, and she was determined, and she wanted to help, and so she just called all her friends, and they donated, and then she just went on a shopping spree, and then she got the owner of Linden to dedicate a plane for all the stuff that's coming up.
Sheldon says hundreds are expected to pack the Kotzebue School gym for tomorrow's funeral. A Fort Wainwright soldier is missing. Alaska State Troopers report that 22-year-old Private Mason Heimer hasn't been seen since last weekend. Troopers say Army officials contacted them around 5 p.m. Tuesday to report that Heimer had been unaccounted for since early Sunday morning when he was last seen at a residence on Yak Road on the west side of Fairbanks. They say Heimer's gray Dodge pickup is also gone. A Facebook post by Heimer's father says his son was headed to work on post early Monday and used his debit card to buy breakfast at McDonald's, but since then, there has been no bank card, cell phone, or online activity. Doug Heimer, who is in Fairbanks from Texas, is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to his son or his truck. The state has revised the action level for PFAS chemicals in drinking water. Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Program specialist Robert Burgess says the state has broadened the list of chemicals considered when applying the EPA lifetime health advisory level of 70 parts per trillion.
We have taken that same threshold, but we've included the sum of PFOA, PFAS, and three other PFAS chemicals.
Burgess says that means more Alaska wells and PFAS contamination zones will be considered in exceedance of the health advisory level.
We are working with responsible parties to contact residents who have exceedances in their wells.
That's an issue locally as PFAS chemicals from firefighting foams have been detected in wells in areas of South Fairbanks, around Eielson Air Force Base, and Fairbanks International Airport. Area residents whose wells are contaminated have been offered alternate drinking water sources or filtration systems. Burgess says the state's revised action level means more homes and neighborhoods around Fairbanks Airport will be connected to utility water.
They have modified their construction plans for these new water mains to include additional people who now exceed this level.
Meanwhile, PFAS has also been detected in wells in an area of North Pole where groundwater is contaminated by the industrial solvent sulfalane from the former Flint Hills refinery. Jim Fish, DEC project manager for refinery area contamination, says the PFAS is suspected to be from firefighting foams used for decades at the former refinery.
We found PFAS concentrations in groundwater that suggests that there's a plume coming from the refinery.
He cites positive PFAS test results in water samples from 4 private wells and 9 state monitoring wells.
We do have plans to do some additional investigation to help determine the extent.
Fish says water filtration systems earlier installed at affected properties for sulfalane have also proven effective for PFAS.
PFAS compounds were either non-detect or they're at very low levels, below DEC's action levels.
Fish says it's not clear if the PFAS has the same exact footprint as the sulfalane plume.
The subsurface is a fairly complicated environment, especially with the presence of permafrost, so it's entirely possible that it could be a different shape, a different extent, and there could be additional sources out there contributing to it as well.
A project to connect properties within the sulfalane contamination area with North Pole City Water is underway. An update on that project and the latest DEC PFAS groundwater testing will be provided during an open house at North Pole City Hall December 5th. The Federal Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry says some studies have shown PFAS chemicals may affect human health, including increased cancer risk. I'm Dan Bross.